Hey there, it is Reagan with Redeeming Productivity. Before we jump into this week's episode, I just wanted to sort of intro it for you a little bit. So you'll notice this is a longer episode, and that's because it is the audio from our Plan Your 2024 for the Glory of God workshop, which I hosted last Friday. And we had a great turnout. We had over 800 people register, 350 people showed up for the live event. And in it, I just walked you through a process for setting goals, kind of evaluating the previous year, and really just trying to set yourself up as best as possible to have a God-glorifying 2024 and be more productive, et cetera, et cetera. And that is now available, the recording of it. You can listen to it in this podcast. But if you want to go deeper, you can go to redeemingproductivity.com/2024. So just next year, redeemingproductivity.com/2024. And there you can download the workbook or watch the video of this if you want to see the slides and stuff and follow along a bit more. But I also wanted to share before we jump in, just a few announcements I made on the live call that I've cut out of the recording. And that is this. First, there's a brand new course that we've just released. It's called How to Optimize Your Week. It is a longish course. I think it's about 2 hours long, but it walks you very meticulously through a process for planning what we call an ideal weekly schedule that includes time for all of your priorities, forces you to have visibility on your schedule so you can, you know, make those trade-offs that you need to make sure everything is getting its attention it needs. Includes this Google sheet we came up with that helps you really organize and categorize all the different areas of your life, and you actually get a little graph that shows you how you're doing, how balanced your schedule is, etc. That, again, it's a new course. It's called Optimize Your Week, and right now it's available only within the Redeeming Productivity Academy program. And that's the other announcement I made on the podcast is our price for Redeeming Productivity Academy, which is our membership program, is going up. Right now it's $29 a month or $290 a year. It's going to go up on January 1st to $35 a month or $350 a year. That includes all of our courses. There's 7 courses, our Notion template, our ongoing quarterly goal challenges where we help you keep accountability in your goals, make a plan for what you're trying to accomplish, weekly office hours with me, workshops, all the community stuff. Basically, our membership program is the backbone of everything we do here. So if you're like, I like this stuff and I want to take the next step and grow in God-honoring productivity, you should consider becoming a member. That also helps support all the free stuff we do through Redeeming Productivity. That really is, the backbone of what we do. So appreciate everyone who is a part of that and would love to have you. But again, if you want to do that, you should sign up before January 1st so you can lock in that lower price, and you will lock it in. People stay at whatever price they sign up at. So we never raise price on current members. So even when we do these things where we raise the price, anybody who was signed up previously, it never changes for them. So sign up before the 1st to get the lowest price the Academy will ever be. That's all I have to say. So let's get into the episode, which will cover how to plan your 2024 for the glory of God. So what are we going to do today? Well, we're going to help you plan your 2024 for the glory of God. So hopefully that's what you came for, because that's what you're about to get. And that is our whole objective here. We're going to try to help you create a little bit of a plan as you look forward to the new year and make sure it's one that God is at the center and not just ourselves. So let me start with a question. I always like to begin these with these. How are you feeling heading into 2024? Just let us know in the chat. I'll give you a couple options. Are you feeling excited? Are you like, yeah, bring on the new year, I'm ready for it? Are you feeling frantic? Like you're like, I don't know if I'm actually going to survive the end of 2023. Don't even talk about 2024. Are you feeling burnt out? Like you're just, you know, trying to drag yourself across the finish line? Or are you ready? I see people in the chat saying hopeful. I love that. That's a good combination of a lot of these. Excited and terrified. Yeah, nervous, Brennan. Bring it on. I love it, Don. Ready. I love it.
Burnt out, tired, but hopeful. Yeah, I really think a lot of times it's a combination of a lot of these, isn't it? And I love the people who said hopeful because I feel like that's a great combination. You can be feeling frantic, you can be feeling burnt out, but you're also like, okay, here's a clean slate. I got a new year. Let's see what the Lord does with it. Amen. God is good. Prayerfully optimistic. I love these answers. Well, no matter how you're feeling with this going into the new year, I'm hoping to help address some of that by pointing you back to Christ and then also pointing you towards a plan that'll help you be intentional with how you approach the new year. Hopefully put some of that anxiety to rest and so you can enter in with a little bit of confidence of, okay, I have some direction, some purpose going into the new year. I want to share a little story and I'll title it When a Godly Mindset Meets Effective Planning. And maybe the alternative title would be A Tale of 2 Years. And this is just sort of my own experience with getting into planning my years, getting into personal productivity at all. When I was in college, I had not been a very good student. I think my mom's here. She could probably attest. Don't attest, Mama, in the chat, but she would tell you, but don't ask her. And I was not a great student, but I was starting to get more serious about my walk with the Lord and really about like personal growth in general, getting serious about taking responsibility for the life the Lord had given me. But even as I started doing that, I remember this year in college where I was first getting serious, it was so many fits and starts. It was like, how do I get consistent with my Bible reading? I want to grow. How do I set goals? So, but all of it was just kind of a mess. My goals, even when I did set them, were selfish. They were kind of vague. They were half-hearted. And so at the beginning of the year, I'd set all these plans and then I'd get into maybe midway through January, midway through February, and then everything just fell through the floor. Like I never could follow through. And so it was like this for several years in a row, just fits and starts. You'd come to the new year. It's like, oh, a blank canvas. I can have I can reset everything in my life. But once I got started, it just all would fall apart. And then fast forward a few years, I was about 2 years, I think, into my marriage with my lovely wife, Kim. And I had been thinking towards going to seminary. You see, I'd been doing campus ministry and evangelism with college students, teaching the college ministry at my local church. And I was thinking, okay, I want to get more Bible training so I can teach the word better, right? But it was this someday thing. We had no money. My wife and I were both working multiple jobs. I think she was still in college at the time, trying to, we were paying for that, trying to get through it. And so it was this far off idea that we'd get to go to seminary. But then through, the providence of the Lord and the kindness of some folks at our church, I got a call out of the blue and a family said, hey, we'd like to, we heard you want to go to seminary and we want a scholarship you to do it. And I was just like blown away, amazing, praise God type thing. And I remember immediately after we kind of worked out the details and I was realized this is actually going to happen. I started thinking, whoa, this is a huge responsibility. This changes everything about the year. Is now I have this opportunity to go to school. And as I'm thinking about planning my year, it's reoriented everything. And this was the phrase that sort of went through my head. This year is a stewardship. You've got to take it seriously. Because when I'm in high school and college and all these things, you kind of had this attitude of, oh, it's my life. I can do what I want with it, right? So if I blow off class or whatever, that's fine. It's not fine, but like you get that feeling sometimes when you're younger. And I think even as adults, sometimes feel like, well, it's my year. I'm going to do what I want with it. But it hit me that this was a stewardship because people were paying to help me to do it. And I cannot imagine if I had just blown off classes. They said, hey, you failed all your classes that we've paid for you to do. What's going on? You're like, oh, I just didn't care. And so it's like, this is a stewardship. And right after that thought came another one. It was always a stewardship. It was always a stewardship. And that really, I think, is the first piece of the puzzle here. As you're thinking about planning the new year, you've got to recognize 2024 as a stewardship, not because someone's scholarshiping you, but because God has given you breath in your lungs and He's given you a new year ahead of you. And so we have to start with that mindset. We got to have a godly mindset. It is not my year to squander. It's not my year to just kind of lay back and cruise through things. We got to take it serious. So, what does that mean? Well, that mindset immediately should lead you to the next thought, which is it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. This is, you know, if you know what a steward is biblically, it's someone who's been entrusted with something that doesn't belong to them. They're responsible for it. We read about it in Matthew 25 with the parable of the talents. I wrote a whole book about that. But the key requirement of a steward is faithfulness. And that is what leads into the second part of our formula here. We want to have a godly mindset, which is a stewardship mindset, but we want to combine that with effective planning, putting that faithfulness into action and saying, hey, let's get serious. And let's, instead of just being reactive, instead of just being ruled by the tyranny of the urgent, let's actually make a plan for this of how to be faithful. And so I think we combine, if we want to have a successful or a faithful 2024, we got to combine that stewardship mindset with effective planning. And that really boils down to three things. I think clear priorities, simple goals, scheduled time. And this was really, for me too, as I was planning that first year of seminary, I got my priorities really clear. I said, okay, this is stewardship. What are my priorities? Okay, I need to do all these classes. I need to balance that with these other things, with focusing my marriage and all these different responsibilities I had. But I just got hyper clear on that. It was sort of this focusing mechanism. Stewardship works that way when you get that mindset. And then I boil that into what are the goals so I can make sure I accomplish these priorities? And then how do I put time towards those goals so I make progress on them so the priorities get served so that I can be faithful steward of my time? You see what I'm saying? This is it. It's a stewardship mindset plus effective planning. And that is our goal today. We're going to actually deal mostly with these three, the effective planning part of it. But I just want you to have in the back of your minds this idea of 2024 is a stewardship. That's why this matters. It's not so you can improve your career or lose weight or read more books or all those things are fine. But the point is you want to be faithful with this year. It's about him. It's not about you. So with that mindset, we're going to dive into these three things. I know people have been joining as I've been talking. So I just want to, before we dive into the meat of things, reiterate that there is a workbook, free PDF workbook. You can download it. James just dropped a link to it in the chat. Thank you, James. If you grab that, you can follow along in there. And you may even want to use it after we get off of this. So some of you may just say, I'm just going to focus on paying attention to this and I'll use the workbook afterwards. But just to know, they complement whether they work together. All right. The step one in our planning 2024 for the glory of God is to clarify your priorities. Clarify your priorities. Have you ever heard this expression, you have to live by the compass, not the clock? I've always liked this. I think it makes a lot of sense. So there are two different devices, right? A compass is for pointing you in a direction. It tells you direction. A clock, obviously, tells you time. But when we live by the clock, which is how a lot of us live, we're more about just reacting and responding to things around us. It's more about deadlines than it is about direction. When you live by the compass, you're focused on an objective. You have clarity of purpose and you're ordering things towards that direction. And I think a lot of times the chaos we feel in our lives is because we aren't living according to our values, according to purpose, according to direction. We're just living by the clock, trying to respond to things and react. And I put together a little table here to sort of show the difference for you. So if you're living by the clock versus the compass in terms of motivation, it's deadlines that motivate you for the clock. I got to get that thing turned in because if I don't, I'm going to get in trouble. You're driven by the tyranny of the urgent, like I said. Whereas the compass, you're motivated by direction. The reason I'm working hard today is not to just try to survive another day. It's because I'm headed somewhere. I have an objective. I have clear priorities. It's the same with purpose too. The clock, when you're living by the clock, it's just about survival. Like you're like, I'm just trying to get through the week. Whereas when you're living by the compass, you're like, this week, again, it's a stewardship. The purpose of this week is to bring glory to God through doing what he gives me to do well. And that is focused on a further direction. Same thing applies to planning. When you're living by the clock, it's reactive. You're just responding. Stuff happens and you're reacting to it. And when you live by the compass, it's proactive. You're looking ahead because you have that direction in mind. You're ordering your days in such a way that your time, your efforts are towards a greater end. So that's the difference, living by the compass and not the clock. And so I think it should be obvious. We want to live by the compass in 2024. But how do we make sure that we actually do that? Right? We want to be people who were thinking in terms of how do I glorify God with my time? How do I glorify God this year? And really the place to start with is with getting your priorities straight. Get really clear on your priorities. And so that's what we're going to do together here. If you're following along with the workbook, we're going to talk a little bit how you can get clear on your priorities. So if you want to have a God-honoring 2024, you must prioritize faithfulness. And as we'll see, I don't just mean faithfulness in an abstract sense. Like, obviously, we want to be faithful in our walk with the Lord, walking by faith daily, and all those things. But I'm saying in the specifics, I want to be faithful in every single area of life, right? I'm not just walking with the Lord in when I'm reading the Bible and in prayer. I'm being faithful to him with the responsibilities he's given me at work, with managing my household, with my health, with all these different things he's given me responsibility for. I want to prioritize faithfulness in all of those. And so getting clarity on what that actually looks like, getting specific instead of, you know, we use the vague spiritual language, but what happens when we bring that down into reality? That's when we get clear on our priorities. Because make no mistake, the purpose of all this is God's glory, right? 1 Corinthians 10:31, great memory verse. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's what we're trying to do. Whether you're mowing the lawn or building a business or finishing a project at work, the driving motivation behind what you're doing should be to make God look good. That's, you know, the Bible talks about the fact that we're made in the image of God. Glorifying him is us bearing that image accurately of living and loving and serving in the way that God would, being faithful as God is faithful and showing forth what he is like in how we live. And so I want to live this next year like that. Okay, so how do we get this out of theory and down into practice? Well, one way that we found helpful in communicating this is what I call the pyramid of purpose. Now, if you've taken any of my courses or if you've been on any of these webinars, I always bring this up. This is sort of the overarching framework we use in Redeeming Productivity and in our academy and all the stuff to sort of think about how do you create a God-glorifying life and do that sort of tactically, strategically. So at the tip of our pyramid is God's glory. That's the objective of all of it. That's what we're aiming for. But below it are all these different levels. And so when we're trying to glorify God, well, how do we do this? We're sort of asking, how do we do this and bringing it down a level each time? Well, I glorify him by being faithful in all of my domains of stewardship. And I'll talk more about domains of stewardship in a minute, but just think about this, the areas of your life. Okay, that gets a little more specific. I want to be faithful at work. I want to be faithful at home. Sure. But what does that look like? Well, to be more faithful in those things, one tactical way you can do that is by setting goals and saying, okay, I know that I'm not being faithful in my walk with the Lord because maybe I'm not in the Word. I don't have a devotional routine or I'm not involved in a local church. Okay, let's make a goal of trying to improve in these things so that I can be more faithful in that domain, right? Same thing with work. I want to be more faithful at my work. Okay, let's set a goal. Well then, okay, a goal is good, but then you break that down further. What projects to do? What individual things can I actively do to help me reach that goal, to help me be faithful in that domain, to help me glorify God? And that goes all the way down to the daily level. What are the tasks I can do today to help me advance that project, to help me meet that goal, to help me be faithful in that domain so that I'm building a life that's more and more glorifying to God? What are the habits? What are the routines I need to set up day to day, moment by moment, as I walk by faith in these things that contribute to this life that is all sort of building on each other all the way up to, I want to live a God-glorifying life. That is really the objective. And that's how we think about these things. These are the different levels we think about Christian productivity at. Because this is the aim. I want to have a life where at any level I look at it, whether it's today or on the month view or for the year, so we're looking at goals for the year, all that, or just the different areas he's given me responsibility for. With all of them, I can draw this line through them and say, I'm glorifying God in these areas. So that's the big picture of what we're trying to do, okay? So if that's what we're trying to do, and we're saying that this step is about clarifying your priorities, how do we do that? How do we actually take this first step with this pyramid of purpose? Well, it begins with evaluating your domains of stewardship. Evaluating your domains of stewardship. So I said I'd come back to this when I mentioned domains of stewardship. This is me coming back to it now. What are domains of stewardship? Like I said, it is just a fancy way of saying these are your areas of responsibility. I like to list these six, but this might be different for different people, or you might prefer a different way of thinking about it. But I talk about the spiritual domain of stewardship. So specifically your walk with the Lord. Am I involved in the local church? Am I serving? Am I walking with the Lord day by day? And I'm in the Word. Am I praying? Right? That kind of stuff. Am I being faithful in that? Relational, that would have to do with your family, your friends, your neighbors. Are you being faithful in those things? Vocational, that's your job, or if whatever the main thing you do is, maybe you're a homemaker or you're retired and you say, well, I don't work. Well, what's your main calling? What's the main thing you do with your time? Are you being faithful in that? Physical, that's just your health, your brain, right? Nutrition, diet, even like intellectual life. Economical, I like to use that. I used to say financial, but I mean your money and your stuff, right? So when we talk about stewardship, that's sort of a lot of times we talk very narrowly about stewarding your money, right? But when I say economical, I'm saying that's just a part of your life. Your finances, taking care of your home, that kind of stuff. Are you being faithful there? And then recreational is the sixth domain I like to use, which just has to do with rest and even enjoyment of what the Lord has given you. I think that's part of your faithfulness as a steward is that you don't run yourself ragged. You are resting and you are enjoying and worshiping God through some of the good things He's given you. And so at this stage, what we're trying to do is do a little bit of a self-evaluation of these different areas. So if you flip open that workbook I gave you'll see that we have this section in there for evaluating your faithfulness in these different domains of stewardship. And so, for example, we have your walk with the Lord. So these might be labeled differently than those domains of stewardship, but it sort of hits all six of them. And the simple exercise here, and you don't need to do this while you're on the call. This might be something you want to get away and do after the fact when you have some time to think. But there's going to be one of these for each of those six domains. And all you do is you go through, you sort of rate yourself 1 to 5. How do I feel I did this year? The point of this isn't to beat yourself up, say, oh, I'm all ones, so that must mean I'm very humble, or I'm all five, so I'm perfect. Right? No, you're just trying to be really honest. This would be a good thing to talk through, even if you meet with someone, a peer, just a Christian brother or sister in Christ, or maybe even with your spouse, or if you have a mentor or someone discipling you. Get their opinion too. How did I do, or what did I do in this area? What were the things I did in this domain of my walk with the Lord? You might talk about your Bible reading plan or a devotional thing you did, or maybe I prayed daily, et cetera. What went well? What can I improve? Right? You get the idea. You're going through these and you're doing a little bit of self-reflection. How am I doing? And again, this point of this is not so you can beat yourself up and say, wow, I'm doing really poorly, and I guess that means God doesn't love me anymore. No, calm down. We're under grace, and that is the wonderful thing. If you do some of these things, you might feel some conviction. That's great. Bring that to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ. Thank you that I'm forgiven for my sins because He has died for me. If you put your faith in Him, right? But the point of this isn't to beat yourself up. It's to get realistic about where things are at so that you can make some changes in His power. And so this is just an illustration, but like imagine you go through this whole exercise and then this is sort of the outcome. Like I can't, it's not going to generate a bar graph for you because it's a PDF and I don't think the technology is there yet. But imagine this is the outcome of this sort of self-evaluation. You're looking at these different things. Look how immediately clear it becomes when you look at it like this. What needs improvement, right? Immediately you've taken this whole vague idea of, man, like I know there's areas I need to be doing better in, and you kind of like vaguely feel that. Even as we got on this call, you've probably already had in the back of your mind, hey, there's some areas I'm not doing great in my life and I want to improve those in 2024. All this does is it sort of solidifies them into reality. And those of you who are in here who are part of our Reading Productivity Academy membership, we do this every quarter in there, right? But it's really great, even at the start of a new year, which is the start of a new quarter, to do this thing and even spend more time with it so that you're thinking, even more longitudinally, what do I want this year to be about? And maybe you're choosing some goals in advance that you'll tackle later in the year, second quarter, third quarter, et cetera. But do this same thing. It's so helpful at the beginning of a new year. All right. So that is step one. We're talking about clarifying your priorities. You want to live a God-glorifying year in 2020 or 2024. Whoa, we fast forward to the future. 2024. You want to clarify your priorities. Start there. Next, and feel free, guys, as I'm talking to drop some questions in the chat. We have James Parker, who's our head coach with Redeem Productivity in there. He's answering questions. I'm glancing over there once in a while, but feel free to throw questions in there, and we'll try to answer them as they come in. But now let's move on to step number two, choosing your goals. Now that you got your priorities clear, you want to get more specific, right? You want to move down that pyramid to let's make some goals, okay? I just love this verse, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. So we're thinking about goals, not in the terms of, oh, I can accomplish this in my own power. No, it's God who's going to do it. We're setting goals with an eye towards this is where I want to head, Lord. You redirect me if this is not the place you want me to go. You're holding him with an open hand. Yeah, Jane asked in the chat. I just glanced over there. Is there another way to send the workbook so I can download it for printing later, please? Yes, actually, after this, I'm going to email you guys the recording of this, and I'll also have a link to the workbook as well. My plan is to update that link that's redeemproductivity.com/2024 to be a page that has the video and the workbook link on it. But in the meantime, you can just grab it at redeemproductivity.com/2024. Great question, Jane. Thank you. Okay, so we're moving ahead in the workbook here, and you'll find this as well. And again, if you're joining us late, that is fine, but you don't have to do all the exercises in the workbook as we're talking through them. I'm sort of trying to give you some context and work you through this, get your mindset right on this, but you might want to take some time later after the call to spend some time in the workbook and actually do these exercises when you have some more time and focus to give to it. All right, so in this part, this is the goal setting part, and we're kind of backing into the whole idea of goal setting, sort of in a fun way that I think forces you to take your priorities and turn them into goals. So here's how you do it. What you want to do is imagine it's December 15th, 2024. So it's next year this time, and you are looking back on the year, and you're looking back on the whole year, and you're saying, this year was super successful. I feel like I grew in all these different areas. I am more faithful in my walk with the Lord than I was at the beginning of the year. What you do in this exercise is you're saying, what specifically would that look like? And so the trick to doing this is you describe a successful year in the past tense. So I just have some examples here, and you can use those domains of stewardship as sort of prompts. So you'll see in parentheses, I included the domains of stewardship for each of these. So one way I might describe a successful 2024 in the past tense is I did my devotions almost every day. In the relational, Kim and I had a date night at least once a month. So in the relational things, so you might have something with that, or it might be, it doesn't have to be your marriage, it can be any relationship, right? We bought a house. Maybe that's a goal you had for the year. I took time off work at least once every 2 months, recreational. I need to be resting more. You realize that you're not being faithful in that. I currently have X amount of clients, vocational, right? Maybe you have a company and you want to grow your client list, and you know that you need to do certain things to make that happen. And that would be successful. It'd be more faithful if you did that. Physical, I took a walk or maybe exercise 3 times per week, right? So all these are arbitrary. I've just made these up, but you get the idea. Those are just examples. Spend some time thinking about what would a successful year look like? What would faithfulness look like this year? And write that down because you're going to use this to help you think through potential goals for the year. So there's another thing in your worksheet that you can use to help you do this part. But really the next step here in setting your goals is prioritizing. So maybe you want to do this on paper. Some people like to write them on sticky notes and put them all on the wall like you're a conspiracy theorist, you know, get some red yarn and connect them all together so you look extra crazy. But the point here, however you do it, whether you use this worksheet or a computer document, whatever, is you're just trying to prioritize. You're just trying to make sure that everything is in its proper order. So copy over some of those ideas that you had from the brainstorming phase in the previous page, but I've made 20 spots just on the worksheet, so you can add as many possible things as you can think of. Hey, Misty, I see your hand is raised. I'm going to allow you to talk if you would like to talk, but if you didn't mean to raise your hand, just unraise it or ask in the chat. And welcome. I'm glad you could join us, Misty. I think maybe she did that by accident. Just let me know if you didn't, Misty. I'm going to take that chance to answer a couple of questions from the chat that I saw come in, and then we'll come back to the prioritize thing. Sammy, you're right. That was the wrong reference item in the verse. Thank you for noting that. I'm going to update that on the slides. Some people have had issue downloading the workbook. Sorry about that. I'll double check all that stuff when I send the follow-up email, and I'll make sure the link is working for you on the page that we create. Josh Whitney asks, would you say that goals should be close to where you currently are, or aim high and try to achieve as much as you can? That's a great question, Josh. There's this thing people talk about, the Goldilocks zone, right? So, the story of Goldilocks and Three Bears. You want goals that are just right. If you make them too easy, it's like what I used to do as a kid. We had a basketball hoop in the front yard, and me and my brother would lower it as low as it would go and jump off the recycle bin so we could dunk. And that's not really helpful if you're trying to stretch yourself and grow, to lower the basketball hoop and just dunk on it. You're not going to learn to really dunk a basketball. But you also don't want to put the hoop so high, just going to keep pressing the analogy, that you can never reach it. So you want to aim for something in the middle, something that's going to stretch you, but not impossible. People talk about SMART goals, that whole framework. One of the A in there stands for achievable, SMART. A is achievable. So it's something you can do, but it's going to stretch you. You want it to be in the Goldilocks zone. Or maybe the R is realistic, Kari told me. I can never remember acronyms. I'll answer a few other questions and I'll jump into it. No worries, Misty. Let's see. People talking about how to print the PDF. I too downloaded the workbook from Rome. Okay. Or relevant. Yeah, I think you're right, Ronald, to settle that. I've seen different versions of the SMART acronym where the R actually stands for different things. So it depends who you consult. Okay. Let me jump back into the slides here. Great questions. Continue asking them again. James is in there. He's answering questions, and I'll pause periodically to answer them as well. But I think I belabored this point enough. Rearrange the list in order of priority. Why do you want to do this step? If you're looking at setting some goals for the year, why do you want to arrange them in order of priority? Because you can't do them all. And this is something I just want to say very clearly. One of the mistakes you can make is not just by setting goals, individual goals that are unachievable, but in setting so many goals that you basically sabotage yourself. And I know myself, this is something I do, is if I say, oh, I have 10 priorities right now, when I don't do any of them and I accomplish none of them, I always have the excuse to fall back on, oh, well, I mean, I couldn't have done all those. It was way too many things to do. So of course I did none of them. And I know myself, and I think a lot of us are that way, that whole self-sabotage thing. Focus requires you to say no to some other stuff for a season. And so by prioritizing your goals and saying, these are the list of the things I want to do in order, you can take them one at a time. And now it is possible, I can't get into all this. We have a course in the Academy, if you decide to join, that talks more about goal setting and all the details and the ins and outs of it. But you can do contemporaneous goals. But in terms of big goals, I think you should always just have one you're working on at a time. So if there's a big thing you're trying to change, something that's going to take multiple months, I try to just focus on one at a time. And so that's why I prioritize, because I want to tackle the most important ones first. And so maybe I tackle four, six goals in the whole year. That's fine. If they're the most important ones, I'm making some serious progress that year. So that's why we prioritize. All right. So the real power of a goal is combining the goal with a plan. Like I sort of mentioned in the story in the introduction, just setting a goal and just kind of throwing something at the wall is more like just making a wish, right? When you don't combine it with a plan and with action, you're not going to get anywhere. And that's where I think I did a video a week or two ago on this, if you follow me on YouTube, on how, why people think that New Year's resolutions don't work. It's because they think that they can just like throw it out into the universe and say, this is my goal. And with no effort and no plan, it'll just somehow materialize. No, guys, it doesn't work that way. You got to combine a goal with a plan. If that's faithfulness requires that of us, is that we actually take the next step and put our money where our mouth is, as it were. This again is something we do in the academy. We do a quarterly rhythm to this. So I'm just showing you a post from inside our academy. What's your Q4 goal? And so we've added sort of an accountability element in there to do this, but we also help people break it down. And that's what I wanted to show you is we talk in terms of goals, waypoints, and ors. And we work backwards through these, right? You want to set a goal and you want to break it down into, we call them waypoints. You could call it a milestone or projects. And then your ors are the actions you apply to it, right? So we've had people in the past in the academy set big goals like a weight loss goal, spiritual goals like getting consistent with Bible reading, business goals like stuff with revenue, number of clients, financial goals like paying off debt, household management type things, economical goals like organizing a room, home renovations, even creative goals like writing a book or creating content online, that kind of stuff. So just some examples of the types of things that people do for goals and how you would sort of reverse engineer these into a plan. And so you work backwards from the goal, right? You've got the goal, and then you want to work down to clarifying it. So you got to make the goal clearer. So even the way that we did it up there, where we did it in writing in the past tense, now you want to take your top five goals, and maybe you only want to do fewer than these, but in the worksheet, we have this page on clarifying, and you write that goal and you try to make it even clearer. And how do you make it clearer? You define the what more clearly, and you define the when. So you define the what exactly is this goal? We have to use the term definition of done. I think David Allen uses this in Getting Things Done, but I always like that because it forces you to think, what, okay, when will I know this is complete? Instead of saying something really vague, this brings it down into reality. What's the moment in time? What's the metric that I could turn around and say, ah, that goal's done? And then the date is you putting a deadline on it and you saying, hey, I want to get this done by the end of Q1, for example. I have this big goal to do in my life and I'm putting a deadline on it. And what's cool about that is you're actually using, maybe it's your default to live by the clock again instead of the compass. You're kind of combining those two. The deadline puts some urgency on it, so it doesn't become something someday you'll do. But oh wait, now I got to get urgent. I need to actually plan if I'm going to get this thing done by that date. Me just jump over to the chat real quick. I keep seeing stuff moving over there. Yeah, Maxwell asks, how do you maintain the drive to keep on pursuing those goals? That is a great question. That is a big part of defining them well, I think, is sometimes you lose the drive because it's not clear what the outcome is. I have, if you guys want to look it up, I did an article. There's also a video about it in a podcast called The Motivation Equation. So if you go on redeemproductivity.com and look up the motivation equation, I talk about some of the ins and outs of making a goal more motivating so it's easier to stick with. And the other thing I'd add to that is you need accountability. You know, doing this in a group is more effective. Doing it with people from your church or the spouse or people, like I mentioned, we have this academy membership thing. That's one of the big benefits is you're doing it together with a bunch of people and they're checking in with you. So that helps with the motivation thing. What else? Yeah, Ryan asked, you talk about a little bit about prayer, listening, discernment in your process, and where you find that fits best in this planning framework. Yeah, absolutely. As you sit down to do this, you absolutely want to be asking for wisdom in this process. We talk about it in the PDF a little bit when you dig into it, but you want to start and throughout this process, and even at the end, and as you go, be holding your goals in an open hand and saying, Lord, give me some direction. It talks about in James that if anyone asks for wisdom, you know that you have it. So there's this promise that if I pray for wisdom, God will give it. And so if your objective is to lead a God-glorifying year in 2024, and you're saying, Lord, I want some wisdom on how to make good plans or make good goals, He wants that for you as well. And so praying through that, asking for wisdom, consulting others too. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, especially those who are spiritually mature. That's super helpful in this. Somebody asked about the recording. Yes, there's a recording you all get. And yeah, Catherine, you were asking about, did I talk about setting goals per area of stewardship? Yeah, you'll see this in the worksheet. That's sort of what I recommend you start with, is setting one per each. And this is something I should clarify. You might not get to all of those goals. There's six domains of stewardship. I do quarterly goals, like I said. And so that's four a year, big goals that I try to tackle. And we do this in the academy too. That's not all six areas. So you kind of acknowledge that this is a marathon, not a sprint. And so that's why we sort of look at how am I doing in each areas, and you sort of address the domain of stewardship that you think probably needs the most addressing in this season. Great question. Jennifer asked, what about goals that are long running, exercise per week, daily goals, et cetera? We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute here. Yeah, Kari mentions that the reason she's in the academy is help her keep her focused and accountable. Yeah, Craig, the Notion template we have actually is based on the framework of that pyramid of purpose. And so it includes these parts too, about how do you take a goal and break it down into its component parts so you actually get there. Yeah, absolutely. Niels says, what do you think of complementary to retroactively describing a successful year to always list some ways that would constitute a fail in a domain coming year, just to be ahead of yourself? I think that's really wise, Niels. They talk about sometimes, I think Einstein used this, the idea of inversion. You heard this, that basically it seems like God's designed us in such a way that we're better at solving problems. And so one way you can actually help yourself figure out what a good goal is what you call inversion, where you say, what would a failure look like in my spiritual domain? What does failure look like in my relational domain? And then flip it and say, okay, what can I do to make sure the opposite of that happens? And for some reason, that's really helpful in jarring your thinking on it. So I think that's a wise thing to try if you want to invert it. Say, what's failure look like in these domains? And then try to set goals that are the opposite of that. Manny says, how can I have a goal of growing our family business or growing sales that is God-focused and not self-focused and about making more money? I literally was just on a call with two other guys yesterday talking about this exact question of it is hard as a business owner because you're thinking about profit, thinking about money. How do you, and you're trying to, obviously part of the benefit is how do I take care of my family? One thing that really is helpful on that, and then I promise guys, I'll get back to the content, but I want to answer these questions. I'm trying to grab a book from over here. Well, I'll just tell you it because I don't see it. The book is called Business in the... Oh, here it is. Boom. You guys are putting me down a rabbit hole. Business in the Glory of God, or For the Glory of God, by Wayne Grudem. If you are a Christian business owner, entrepreneur, or anything, read this book. It's very short. Really, really helpful in thinking through those issues. Wow, James, you're on it. Thank you, brother. Josh, has any updates on purchasing the Notion template? Yeah, I was planning to have the version 2 of it available actually today. That's why I delayed releasing it. I wanted to have the version 2 out for you guys. Didn't quite get it done before this, but before the end of the year, I plan to have it available for everyone in the academy and hopefully up for sale as well, even if you don't want to join the academy. Okay. Sorry. I went down the rabbit hole there, but I love answering those questions. I love thinking through that stuff with you guys. But let's get through the rest of this here. So we're on the point here of trying to We talked about clarifying our goals, and then we talked about choosing your goals. That's the point we're still on right now, just to put you back in context here. And so we were talking about how do you clarify them? So once you have some ideas for some goals, that's when you want to pick sort of the ones that are most important and put the what and the when on them. Okay, and this sheet will help you in that workbook. Then the next step is to sort of work backwards. If I wanted to reach that goal, what are the waypoints that are going to get me there? What are the step by step that's going to get me there? And this is true at a meta level too, in terms of trying to live a God-glorifying life. So we like to use nautical analogy, but imagine you're rowing a boat and you're started here on that little dot, and then you're just rowing to the next waypoint. What's the next thing? What's the little goal that helps me reach the big goal? And little by little, you reach the goal. And if you do that over and over again, you come to the end of your life and you find that I've been setting God glorifying goals. I've been walking by faith. I've been seeking to be faithful each day. You end up living a life that sum total is well done, good and faithful servant. And so the waypoints part of this is us simply saying, okay, how do I set a middle part to this? Because especially with big goals, someone asked about motivation earlier, especially with big goals, man, there's this problem, especially in the middle where there's just this slump and you're like, I am halfway into the woods, and that means there's still halfway to go to get out of the woods. I can't see the start, and I can't be motivated by the finish line because I can't see that yet. One way to help you with that is to set little individual mini goals along the way, and we call these waypoints. So what you would want to do is take whatever your first goal is, and maybe it's a multi-month goal, and you say, what can I do this month to get me towards that? What's a little objective that will bring me closer to that? And you break them down that way. And then the last step is the oars. This is the rowing part. What's the power that's actually going to get you there? So if you have this long-term goal, even if you have short-term little goals, you got to actually get up and do something each day if you want to make progress on those goals, right? And that is a lot of times where this breaks down is you may come to this, you do the whole planning thing, you follow the worksheet, you do all that, but then you walk away and you have all these great ideas and you're all hopeful for the new year, but you didn't throw any time at it. You didn't set up any habits. You didn't figure out what's the thing I'm going to do each day that's going to row me closer to the waypoint, which is getting me closer to the goal, right? If you don't do that, you're not going to put this into action. So that's what the oars part is. And really a great question you could ask yourself is this: what is the one habit that will most effectively help me reach my first waypoint? You notice you're not even saying to reach the goal. You're saying, you're just identifying with the waypoint. What's the next thing I need to get to make progress on the goal? And then this question is saying, what do I need to do to just get to there? And if it's nothing else, it's just throwing time at the problem and putting it on your calendar, right? And let me jump over to this. That's sort of transitions into the last point here. Craft your schedule. So you clarify your priorities. What is it we're about this year? What does faithfulness look like? We choose our goals. So we're having some objectives for how we're actually going to grow in these areas. And then we're saying, all right, let's put time towards the problem. Let's put this on the calendar so that it gets done. And so this is the make a plan part. The goal you want to tackle first, take that and choose a time and a place you will work on this goal each week and put it in your calendar. I really am a big believer in just from the practical side of things. If you throw enough time at a goal, even if you do everything wrong, like eventually you're going to, through that time, figure out what the right things are going to be to do. They're going to get you closer to that. So it's really just throwing a lot of time at the goal will eventually get you there. So putting that on the calendar is so important. Here's a really easy way to do this. Create an implementation intention for your oars. I heard this, I don't know if he came up with it. I heard implementation intention from James Clear. I don't think he made it up, but it's in the book Atomic Habits. But when we're talking about the oars, what's the power? Like what's the thing you're going to do each day? The little swing of the axe you're going to make to get you closer to the goal. That's what we mean by the oars. And implementation intention is just a super simple way that forces you to come up with a plan. I will do X behavior at Y time in Z location. That's it. I'll do X behavior at Y time in Z location. So a couple examples. I'll read my Bible at 8 a.m. in the kitchen. You know, it takes the vagueness out of it for you, where it's like you say, I'm going to read my Bible more. Okay. When? Okay. Where? Just writing out a sentence like this, and I encourage you actually write it out, is you turning that goal into, okay, now I actually have a strategy. I actually have some oars. I actually am going to be able to make progress on it. Another one might be if you're wanting to be in the gym more, for example, I will exercise at 5:30 p.m. in the gym. I know my face is covering that up, but it says gym. I'll exercise at 5:30 p.m. in the gym, and then put this on your calendar. Just from the academy, I was looking back through some of the previous quarterly challenges we did and some of the oars people chose. Somebody said pray 15 minutes a day, do power mornings. That's sort of our morning routine paradigm we teach in there. Track meals, 10,000 steps a day. Categorize one shelf per day. This was towards an organization goal. 5 minutes of planning each day. So that was all. That was like, if I just spend 5 minutes planning each morning, I will be able to get more done. So those are just some ideas for you on that. And that's the big picture of it. You clarify your priorities, you choose your goals, you craft your schedule. And if you do this, by God's grace, you are much more likely to have a faithful, God-honoring 2024. And the cool thing is, I always like to say this when we talk about goal setting. If you craft your goals, if you craft your plan with the intention of glorifying God, then even if everything falls apart in your life and none of those goals get done, the fact that your intention is to bring God glory, but through providence, he makes it so you can't accomplish your set goals, it's still a win for you, right? Because God, through providence, may choose that the way you glorify him, honor him in 2024 is way different than what you plan. But that doesn't absolve you of the responsibility to be diligent and faithful to make a plan towards that end, and then let him redirect your steps as you walk. That is what he does. It's very often, we make our plans, but God directs our steps. And so we do want to plan with an open hand, open to what the Lord can do with us.